content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Hello and welcome to Heard Any Good Books Lately? I'm George Douglas. This program is from the Triangle Radio Reading Service, and it's a monthly program brought to you by the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons all interested in supporting the library and the services that it provides. Now, the Friends group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you'd like to join the Friends group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that later in the program. Well, this program is all about books, with special emphasis on those available from the North Carolina Library for the Blind. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, talking books as well, both digital and cassette. The library has more than 11,000 patrons across the state of North Carolina. If you're not a patron, but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information about how you can do just that at the end of this program as well, so stay tuned. On today's program, we'll take a look at some of the most popular books that have been distributed by the North Carolina Library for the Blind during the month of January 2013, so this is very current information for you. And listening to the descriptions of the books, perhaps you'll be interested in a few books that you have not heard yet. Now, we're going to look at several very popular novels by such authors as David Baldacci, Gillian Flynn, James Patterson, and more. We're also going to take a look at three nonfiction books that present fascinating looks at three of the most interesting men in the past two centuries of our country, John D. Rockefeller Sr. and Presidents Jimmy Carter and Theodore Roosevelt. All three of these books are available from the North Carolina Library for the Blind. And we're going to have some exciting new information about digital magazines, about to be distributed by the National Library Service first to the patrons of our North Carolina Library for the Blind. How about that? We'll have more information about that later in the program as well. Now, our first book for today is called Zero Day. From David Baldacci, the modern master of the thriller and the number one worldwide best-selling novelist, comes a new hero, a lone Army special agent, taking on the toughest crimes facing the nation. And Zero Day is where it all begins. John Puller is a combat veteran and the best military investigator in the U.S. Army's Criminal Investigative Division. Now, his father was an Army fighting legend, and his brother is serving a life sentence for treason in a federal military prison. Puller has an indomitable spirit and an unstoppable drive to find the truth. Now Puller is called out on a case in a remote rural area in West Virginia coal country, far from any military outpost. Someone has stumbled onto a brutal crime scene, a family slaughtered. The local homicide detective, a headstrong woman with personal demons of her own, joins forces with Puller in this investigation. As Puller digs through deception after deception, he realizes that absolutely nothing he's seen in this small town and no one in it are what they seem to be. Facing a potential conspiracy that reaches far beyond the hills of West Virginia, he is one man on the hunt for justice against an overwhelming force. Zero Day by David Baldacci. That was one of the most popular books that was taken out of the library from the North Carolina Library for the Blind in January. One of the other most popular books this past month was called Gone Girl by Gillian Flynn. Marriage can be a real killer. One of the most critically acclaimed suspense writers of our time, New York Times bestseller Gillian Flynn, takes that statement to its darkest place in this unputdownable, if that is such a word, masterpiece about a marriage gone terribly, terribly wrong. As the Washington Post proclaimed, her work draws you in and keeps you reading with the force of a pure but nasty addiction. Gone Girl's toxic mix of sharp-edged wit with deliciously chilling prose creates a nerve-wracking thriller that confounds you at every turn. On a warm summer morning in North Carthage, Missouri, it is Nick and Amy's 5th wedding anniversary. Presents are being wrapped and reservations are being made when Nick Dunn's clever and beautiful wife disappears from their rented McMansion on the Mississippi River. Husband of the year, Nick Dunn isn't doing himself any favors with cringeworthy daydreams about the slope and shape of his wife's neck, but hearing from Amy through flashbacks in her diary reveal the perky perfectionist could have put anyone dangerously on edge. Now, under mounting pressure from the police and the media, as well as Amy's fiercely doting parents, the town golden boy parades an endless series of lies, deceits, and inappropriate behavior. Nick is oddly evasive, and he's definitely bitter. But is he really a killer? As the cops close in, every couple in town is soon wondering how well they know the one they love. With his twin sister Margot at his side, Nick stands by his innocence. Trouble is, if Nick didn't do it, where is that beautiful wife? And what was left in that silvery gift box hidden in the back of her bedroom closet? Employing her trademark razor-sharp writing and assured psychological insight, Gillian Flynn delivers a fast-paced, devilishly dark, and ingeniously plotted thriller that confirms her status as one of the hottest writers around these days. That's Gone Girl by Gillian Flynn. Everyone loves a good murder mystery, no question about it, and James Patterson is certainly one of the biggest names in the writing business today. San Francisco police are involved in two puzzling multiple murder cases in the book called 11th Hour, the latest in the Women's Murder Club series by James Patterson and Maxine Petro. Detective Lindsay Boxer is pregnant and stressed because her husband Joe has been working out of town. She also faces the possibility a co-worker may have used a gun from the police evidence locker to kill several major drug dealers. Then two heads with no bodies are found on the grounds of a palatial compound once occupied by famous actor Harry Chandler, whose wife had mysteriously disappeared years before. Lindsay and her partner get that case, too. As the grounds of the mansion are dug up, other heads, all from women, are found. Lindsay fears there could be hundreds of them buried here. She and her Women's Murder Club friends, Yuki, an assistant in the district attorney's office, Cindy, an investigative reporter, and Claire, a medical examiner, share information and their own feelings. When a rival of Cindy's blows both stories out of proportion and uses a picture indicating Lindsay's husband could be having an affair, the pressures are almost too much for the women. Although Chandler had been absolved of his wife's disappearance, Lindsay is certain his former home will contain clues to the identities of the victims and possibly of their killer. And that leads her to some grisly discoveries that, frankly, no pregnant woman should have to face. It's called 11th Hour, and it's by James Patterson and Maxine Petro. And you're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. It's brought to you by the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. Now we're going to take a look at a book called At Last by Jill Shalvis. This has been a popular one, too, so far in 2013. Amy Michaels loves her new life in Lucky Harbor. A waitress in a local diner, she's looking forward to her first weekend hike through the mountains. But when a wrong turn takes her off the trail, she finds herself up close and personal with forest ranger Matt Bowers. And even though she's tempted to kiss that sexy smile right off his face, she won't make the mistake of getting involved with the town heartthrob. A former cop whose life went south, Matt doesn't let anyone get too close. But something about the feisty beauty caught his eye the moment he first saw her in the diner. After a hot night under a starry sky, Matt cannot deny their attraction or the fact that, for the first time in a long time, he feels the stirrings of something more. Now it's up to Matt to help Amy see that no matter what is in their past, together they can build a future in Lucky Harper. And the name of that book is At Last by Jill Shalvis. The next book we're going to look at is entitled The Inn at Rose Harbor, and it's by very popular writer Debbie McComber. From the number one New York Times bestselling author Debbie McComber comes a heartwarming new series based in the Pacific Northwest town of Cedar Grove, where a charming cast of characters finds love, forgiveness, and renewal behind the doors of the cozy Rose Harbor Inn. Jo Marie Rose first arrives in Cedar Grove seeking a sense of peace and a fresh start. Coping with the death of her husband, she purchases a local bed and breakfast, the newly christened Rose Harbor Inn, ready to begin her life anew. Yet the inn holds more surprises than Jo Marie can imagine. Her first guest is Joshua Weaver, who has come home to care for his ailing stepfather. The two have never seen eye to eye, and Joshua has little hope that they can reconcile their differences. But a long-lost acquaintance from Joshua's high school days proves to him that forgiveness is never out of reach, and love can bloom even where it's least expected. The other guest is Abby Kincaid, who has returned to Cedar Cove to attend her brother's wedding. Back for the first time in 20 years, she almost wishes she hadn't come. The picturesque town harboring painful memories from her past. And while Abby reconnects with family and old friends, she realizes she can only move on if she truly allows herself to let go. This is a touching novel of life's grand possibilities and the heart's ability to heal. The Inn at Rose Harbor is a welcome introduction to an unforgettable set of friends. Once again, The Inn at Rose Harbor was written by very popular novelist Debbie McComber. And the next book we're going to take a look at is Reunion Redemption Series Book Number 5 by Karen Kingsbury. A deadly diagnosis in the fifth and final book in this Redemption series. Plans are being made for a family reunion. Nearly all of the adult Baxter children have a reason to celebrate, except one. As the preparations get underway, a deadly diagnosis sends shockwaves through the Baxter family and threatens to tear them apart. A heartbreaking secret, the reality of what might lie ahead, brings each of the Baxters to a place of faith and honesty. In the process, Elizabeth and John come to grips with a secret they haven't shared with anyone, a secret they rarely admit even to themselves. At the same time, a young man is making his rise in Hollywood and wondering about his place in life. A glorious celebration amidst the threat of sorrow, the Baxters share in their most wonderful celebration of all, a moment to remember that love always wins out, no matter how long the struggle. A reminder that God reigns even in the darkest night, a story of God's grace and redemption, His victory even in the most difficult times. That Redemption series, 5 books long, this is the last, the book number 5 by Karen Kingsbury, and at least 2 of the other books were listed among some of the most popular books checked out from the North Carolina Library for the Blind during the month of January. So if you haven't had the opportunity to listen to any of those books, I think you might enjoy doing that. They're available right now. Now we'll turn away from the novel for just a moment to books of reality. As I mentioned at the beginning, we have 3 fascinating books to tell you about, and all of them are available from the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. The first one we're going to talk about is called Titan, The Life of John D. Rockefeller Sr., and it is written by Ron Chernow. John D. Rockefeller Sr., history's first billionaire and the patriarch of America's most famous dynasty, is an icon whose true nature has eluded three generations of historians. Now Ron Chernow, the National Book Award-winning biographer of the Morgan and Warburg banking families, gives us a history of the mogul etched with uncommon objectivity and literary grace. As detailed, balanced, and psychologically insightful a portrait of the tycoon as we have ever had, according to one of the reviews I read. Titan is the first full-length biography based on unrestricted access to Rockefeller's exceptionally rich trove of papers. A landmark publication full of startling revelations, the book will indelibly alter our image of this most enigmatic capitalist. Born the son of a flamboyant, bigamist snake oil salesman and a pious, straight-laced mother, Rockefeller rose from rustic origins to become the world's richest man by creating America's most popular and feared monopoly, Standard Oil. Now, branded the Octopus by legions of muckrakers, the trust refined and marketed nearly 90% of the oil produced in America. Now, Rockefeller was likely the most controversial businessman in our nation's history. Critics charged that his empire was built on unscrupulous tactics, grand-scale collusion with the railroads, predatory pricing, industrial espionage, and wholesale bribery of political officials. Now, the Titan spent more than 30 years dodging investigations until Teddy Roosevelt and his trustbusters embarked on a marathon crusade to bring Standard Oil to bay. Now, while providing abundant new evidence of Rockefeller's misdeeds, Chernow discards the stereotype of the cold-blooded monster to sketch an unforgettably human portrait of a quirky, eccentric original. A devout Baptist, a temperance advocate, Rockefeller gave money more generously. His chosen philanthropies included the Rockefeller Foundation, the University of Chicago, and what is today Rockefeller University than anyone before him. Titan presents a finely nuanced portrait of a fascinating, complex man, synthesizing his public and private lives and disclosing numerous family scandals, tragedies, and misfortunes that have never before come to light. John D. Rockefeller's story captures a pivotal moment in American history, documenting the dramatic post-Civil War shift from small business to the rise of giant corporations that irrevocably transformed our nation. With cameos by Joseph Pulitzer, William Randolph Hearst, Jay Gould, William Vanderbilt, Ida Tarbell, Andrew Carnegie, Carl Jung, J. Pierpont Morgan, William James, Henry Clay, Frick, Mark Twain, and Will Rogers, Titan turns Rockefeller's life into a vivid tapestry of American society in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. It is Ron Chernow's signal triumph that he narrates this monumental saga with all the sweep, drama, and insight that this giant subject deserves. Doesn't that sound terrific? It's called The Titan, The Life of John D. Rockefeller Sr., and it's written by John Chernow, and it is available right now from the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. And that book by Rockefeller mentions one of Rockefeller's real nemesis there, who was, of course, President Teddy Roosevelt. So it's appropriate that we take a look at another great book that's also available these days. It's called Theodore Rex by Edmund Morris. Theodore Rex is the story, never fully told before, of Theodore Roosevelt's two world-changing terms as President of the United States. 100 years before the catastrophe of September 11, 2001, T.R. succeeded to power in the aftermath of an act of terrorism. Youngest of all of our chief executives, he rallied a stricken nation with his superhuman energy, charm, and political skills. He proceeded to combat the problems of race and labor relations and trust control, while making the Panama Canal possible and winning the Nobel Peace Prize. But his most historic achievement remains his creation of a national conservation policy and his monument, millions of acres of protected parks and forest. Theodore Rex ends with TR leaving office, still only 50 years old, his future reputation secure as one of our greatest presidents. As you may recall, he rose to the presidency after the assassination of President William McKinley in September 1901. For just a moment there, I was drawing a complete blank as to who the president was before Roosevelt. William McKinley was assassinated in September of 1901, and of course Theodore Roosevelt took over very unexpectedly as the President of the United States at that time, much to the dismay of people like John D. Rockefeller Sr., of course. Our next book that we'll take a look at is The Unfinished Presidency by Douglas G. Brinkley. This is also a very good one, hailed by Time magazine as a fascinating, rich, energetic American story. This extraordinary biography will transform America's perception of Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter left the White House in January 1981, defeated in his bid for re-election and rejected by the American public, but hardly broken. Outside the Oval Office with a commitment rarely seen in an ex-president, he was more determined than ever to complete his life's mission, the achievement of world peace. With unique access to the Carter archives and to the man himself, award-winning historian Douglas Brinkley brings us an unprecedented biography of the former president. Here are penetrating observations of Carter's complex relationships with such world figures as Mikhail Gorbachev, Margaret Thatcher, Fidel Castro, and Yasser Arafat, as well as his associations with the presidents who have succeeded him. Brinkley also reassesses the achievements of Carter's underrated White House tenure, the Camp David Accords, Panama Canal treaties, and his championing of human rights. The Unfinished Presidency is the definitive portrait of this formidable world statesman. A couple of quick reviews here which I thought were interesting. Brinkley, the author, is a regular commentator on NPR, and his articles have appeared in the New York Times, Foreign Affairs, the Washington Post, and many other publications. And USA Today calls it a thoroughly sourced, intimate portrait of one of the country's most respected ex-presidents. Again, that book is called The Unfinished Presidency by Douglas G. Brinkley. It is available at the North Carolina Library for the blind and physically handicapped, along with literally thousands of other nonfiction books that I know you will enjoy. And we have just a few minutes left before the end of Heard Any Good Books Lately for this month. We have time, I think, to take a look in detail at one more book that was particularly popular during the month of January, and it was another book by David Baldacci, and this one was called The Innocent. Let's listen to what this one was all about. America has enemies, ruthless people that the police, the FBI, even the military can't stop. That's when the U.S. government calls on Will Roby, a stone-cold hitman who never questions orders and always nails his target. But Will Roby may have just made the first and last mistake of his career. It begins with a hit gone wrong. Roby is dispatched to eliminate a target unusually close to home in Washington, D.C. But something about this mission doesn't seem right to Roby, and he does the unthinkable. He refuses to kill. Now Roby becomes a target himself and must escape from his own people. Fleeing the scene, Roby crosses paths with a wayward teenage girl, a 14-year-old runaway from a foster home. But she isn't an ordinary runaway. Her parents were murdered, and her own life is in danger. Against all of his professional habits, Roby rescues her and finds he can't walk away. He needs to help her. Even worse, the more Roby learns about this girl, the more he's convinced she is at the center of a vast cover-up. one that may explain her parents' deaths and stretch to unimaginable levels of power. Now Roby may have to step out of the shadows in order to save this girl's life, and perhaps his own. It's called The Innocent by David Baldacci. By the way, David Baldacci was actually born in Virginia in 1960, where he currently lives, and he received a Bachelor's of Arts degree in political science from the from Virginia Commonwealth University there in Richmond, and a law degree from the University of Virginia. Mr. Baldacci practiced law for 9 years in Washington, D.C. as both a trial and corporate attorney, and he has now published over 17 novels for adults and a number of novels for children and several original screenplays. His books have been translated into more than 40 languages and sold in more than 80 countries. He really is a pretty amazing guy. I mentioned at the beginning of the program that magazines are about to go digital. Well, thanks to all of our great patrons here in North Carolina, the Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped has been selected to be one of the first in the nation to go digital in magazines. Now, you can look for your subscriptions to national magazines on digital cartridge within the next few weeks. Now, here's some examples, and I looked at a very long list, but just to give you some idea of some of the magazines that are available: Bon Appetit, The Atlantic, Consumer Reports, Ebony, ESPN, the magazine, Good Housekeeping, The Ladies' Home Journal, National Geographic, very, very popular, and because I know that you are interested in books, so you wouldn't be listening to this program, The New York Times Book Review will be available as a digital magazine as well. So that is something to look forward to within the next few weeks here in North Carolina. By the way, a few of the other books I thought I would mention, because I just have another minute here, is some of the books that we did not have a chance to read in detail. Perhaps we'll get to in the next month or so. But Backfire by Catherine Coulter, very, very popular. Severe Clear, a Stone Barrington novel by Stuart Woods. Perhaps you have read something by him. A Judgment Call by Judith Jantz is another very popular one. If You Hear Her by Shiloh Walker. And another great mystery writer that is from Virginia, I believe, as well, Patricia Cornwell, who wrote a book called The Bone Bed that has been sort of flying off the shelves at the North Carolina Library for the Blind in the last month. And also Blacklist, a thriller by Brad Thor. So quite a few other books that you may be interested in looking at, and we will try to bring some of those summaries to you in the months ahead here on Heard Any Good Books Lately. That is all the time we have today for Heard Any Good Books Lately. If you'd like more information about how to become a patron of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, Google or search the library online, or call 1-888-388-2460. At the same time, you can use those same numbers and website to join the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. That is the wonderful organization that sponsors this monthly feature on books. This program is intended for a print and visually handicapped audience. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time.